whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Jimmy Diggs here, Ad Councilor. Join us every Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. for the most brutal, intense, uncensored show on the net, Daily Noise. Right here on LBRocks.com.
And now back to whatever crap you're listening to.
The new home for the wise guys on the net is LVRocks.com. That's LV as in Las Vegas, ROCKS.com, LVRocks.com. Listen to the Wise Guy Show on the web from noon to 2 at LVRocks.com.
Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
The following is a live LV Rocks original webcast. Visit LVRocks.com for studio cam and live chat room.
And welcome back to another edition of Subject to Discussion. Once again, live on LVRocks.com as well as on S2DRadio.com. And that was the producer, Mr. Consoler. Thank you very much. And also the program is on the Progressive Podcast Network as well as antiradio.net. And thank you for everybody joining us live and all one of us in the chat room. There's more live listening, but there's hardly only anybody in the chat room. So you can go to LVRocks.com and click on the cam and chat and go in there and join us in the chat room. Or S2DRadio.com, it's linked up to the LVRocks site with the chat and everything else. You can go in there. And thank you, everybody, joining us live again, as well as on the podcast. Thank you very much. And tonight, after the Political News Digest, we'll be joined by Joey from the Donkey Digest, and he'll be on. We'll talk about the weekend politics and everything else that's going on. And then in the second hour, the crazy professor, Dr. Koenig Rules, will be rejoining us for a discussion about Galactica and Who. Of course, they weren't on last week, but we'll talk about the previous week's episodes as well as what's coming this week. Of course, the Galactica is having the boxing episode this week, so we'll see how that goes and what he thinks about that, as well as his turkeys so far of the season for both series, Who and Galactica. So we'll be interested in hearing his opinion on that. And we'll also ending the program will be the mad rocket scientist, Dr. Net Ranger, with our pop culture discussion and our essay, S2D BSG essay winner contest will be announced. The winner will be announced, as well as I'll read some of the essay. It's quite a long one, so it'll take maybe 30 minutes to read the whole essay, but I'll skip around it. But it was very good. And out of hundreds entered, only there can only be one. So we'll announce that winner later on in the second hour. Right now I'll go into the Political News Digest, and we'll discuss what's going on. I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. I worked at the hotel. It was very busy, and it's amazing here in Vegas. It's one of the most busiest check-in days of the year in Las Vegas is Thanksgiving. Usually a lot of Asians come in and a lot of Armenians. I guess they don't believe in Christmas or Thanksgiving. And so a lot of them came in for that. A lot of people shopping, of course, and all the shows were in. So a lot of people are going to see the show. And the big news is Liza Minnelli. She did a show the other night just for the entertainment industry. She was in over the weekend. She did a show that started at midnight. She did this out of honor to Sammy Davis Jr. and some of the other Rat Packers. Apparently, they used to do this type of a show when they are in their heyday, that they do a show just for the entertainment industry in Las Vegas. That she calls them her babies. And they, people after their show would go see you know, the Rat Pack. Well, this time they went to see Liza Minnelli, and she performed, I believe they said, until 3 in the morning. So she went at midnight approximately. She performed for almost 3 hours, so good for her. And apparently she, the lights, so she can see the audience better. She, you know, stopped the show in its tracks. She pulled off her infamous eyelashes, big eyelashes, so she can see the audience better. So anyway, so we'll go into the, that was a little Thanksgiving news from Las Vegas for everybody. So, and today in the Political News Digest, we have, this is from the Washington Post. I saw this on Hardball, and they had an article by Thomas E. Ricks, and he talks about the, actually, I didn't get my name, Sean and Max, Sean Daly, call me anything you want, just not call me late for dinner. A little late for that, but I'm eager to jump into the news, you know. And today in the News Digest, that Anbar picture grows clearer and bleaker. It's from Thomas E. Ricks of the Washington Post, and he said the U.S. military is no longer able to defeat a bloody insurgency in western Iraq or counter al-Qaeda's rising popularity there, according to newly disclosed details from a classified Marine Corps intelligence report that set up debate in recent months about the military's mission in the Anbar province. So I wonder what Bush and them are going to say about this now. First, last week, of course, the CIA coming out with a report that they relegate is crap. And now the Marine Corps is issuing a report as well. So they're going to say, oh, no. Now, I wonder if they're going to call them anti-patriotic, Nazi sympathizers, or supporting slavery in 19th century America, when it's the Marine Corps also throwing up the red flags about Iraq. The Marines recently filed an updated version of that assessment that stood by its conclusions and stated that, as of mid-November, the problems in the troubled Anbar province have not improved. A senior U.S. intelligence official said on Monday, the fundamental questions of lack of control, growth of the insurgency, and criminality remain the same, the official said. The Marines' August memo, a copy of which was shared with the Washington Post, is far bleaker than some officials suggested when they described it in late summer. The report describes Iraq's Sunni minority as embroiled in a daily fight for survival, fearful of pogroms by the Shiite majority, and increasingly dependent on al-Qaeda in Iraq as its only hope against growing Iranian dominance across the capital. True or not, the memo says, from the Sunni perspective, their fears have been realized. Iran controls Baghdad, and Anbaris have been marginalized. Moreover, most Sunnis now believe it would be unwise to count on or help U.S. forces because they are seen as likely to leave the country before imposing stability. Between al-Qaeda's violence, Iran's influence, and expected U.S. drawdown, the social and political situation has deteriorated to a point that U.S. and Iraqi troops are no longer capable of militarily defeating the insurgency in al-Anbar, the assessment found. In Anbar province alone, at least 90 U.S. troops have died since September 1st. So it's very, very bleak outlook there. And Anbar province, that just epitomizes the whole mess in Iraq, you know. And Bush is, you know, clueless. You know, he has no idea. He's like the Mr. Magoo of American politics. He's over there, you know, beating, you know, browbeating NATO and everything else. You know, he has no idea that he refuses to see that Iraq is crumbling down around him. And I don't know what's going to take this Baker report. He's already apparently he's issued some other Defense Department's going to have their own report. He doesn't use that to counter the Baker Iraq Study Group's report as well. I mean, you know, he says there's not a civil war. I mean, what the hell is Bush waiting for? He's waiting for, Abraham Lincoln to step up or something like that. I mean, there's no Abraham Lincoln in this one, and I hope he's not thinking he is an Abraham Lincoln. I don't think Bush can tie Abraham Lincoln's shoes, you know. But the only president I think whose shoes he can tie would probably be Nixon's, you know, because they share so much in common. You know, corrupt, inept, amoral administration like this. I mean, wait until the Democrats get control of Congress. They start lifting up these rocks, you know, from Iraq, and look at the military, the non-compete, money being spent in Iraq. Lift up these rocks and see how many worms come crawling out of there. I bet you these worms will have signs on them, say Halliburton, Big Oil, all these Republican-friendly neocon companies are, you know, milking the government for all this money that we're spending in Iraq for nothing, you know. So, Anyway, and also today, from USA Today, they said, USA Today, Iraq invasion bungled from the start. Absolutely. USA Today took a strong editorial position on Monday, declaring that neocons now claiming that the decision to invade Iraq was correct. It's just that the occupation has been bungled. Have it half right. It's been bungled, they agree, but the war was wrong from the start, the paper now suggests. Absolutely is wrong from the start. Like I said, they should have taken care of Afghanistan first, taken care of that country, captured Osama bin Laden, and then built the case for Iraq. Not this steering away from the real war on terrorism for this half-assed fiasco in Iraq. We got the to-blame administration bungling exclusively for the Iraq debacle, however, is to learn the wrong lesson. It's true that the occupation of Iraq was mismanaged from the outset, but by failing to guard massive munitions stockpiles, I didn't know about that, the administration helped arm the insurgency. So I guess that now kind of indicts the administration for letting these insurgents get a hold of these arms that they're using on our own troops. And by disbanding the Iraqi army, it gave the insurgency men to use those arms. But the mistakes began with the decision to go to war itself, a naive and arrogant exercise in wishful thinking that the nation can't afford to repeat. The pretext, of course, was that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction that represented an imminent threat to U.S. security. In large part, however, the motivation was the neocons' belief, adopted by the administration, that ousting Saddam would create a beachhead for democracy in the Middle East. The effects, the neocons argued, would ripple throughout the region. Oh, things are rippling through the region right now. It's called the Civil War. The Arab public, inspired by U.S. ideals, would marginalize extremists and dictators alike, bringing peace. I think it'd be, successfully argued that we didn't bring peace to the Middle East. We brought all hell breaks loose in the Middle East. I think that's what we brought to them. And also from today, Bush berates hesitant NATO allies. U.S. President George W. Bush has berated NATO members, are reluctant to send troops to Afghan hotspots, demanding they must accept difficult assignments, he said. He said this today. Speaking just before a NATO meeting in Latvia, Mr. Bush said members must provide the forces the alliance needs. Several NATO nations have caveats that keep their troops out of the most dangerous areas of Afghanistan, where Taliban forces are strengthening. The two-day summit began with a working dinner focused on Afghanistan. The difficulties of the Afghan mission are set to dominate the agenda in Riga. So, again, this is another mess that we started over there. We should have finished Afghanistan first and then gone to Iraq. Now we pushed this off onto NATO, and now things are getting out of control in Afghanistan, and Bush doesn't want us to get involved in that again. He's pawned that off on that hot potato onto NATO, so he's reaming them for not sending more troops. So, and also, we'll move on a little bit. A little ranting and raving a little bit, but and in the latest polls, we have this is from today. The Rasmussen U.S. Approval rating of President Bush approve is 38%, disapprove is 59%. So he's not improving at all. And also, Rasmussen has a President 08 a poll, McCain 49%, Tom Vilsack 32%. President 08 Vilsack versus Romney, Vilsack at 39%, and Romney at 35%. And President Wade from CNN, GOP primary Giuliani, 33%, and McCain at 30%, and Romney at 9%. So that's interesting. They still think that Vilsack is somebody to keep their eye on for him. And he's coming to town here in Vegas, I believe, December 9th. He's going to be at UNLV speaking. He's doing, like I said last week, like a listening tour around the country. So he'll be here at the Student Union Hall. And also from today, John McCain and Mitt Romney snapping up South Carolina political operatives for a primary brawl. This is from the TPM Cafe. The South Carolina primary, which effectively ended John McCain's 2000 presidential hopes amid a vicious battle with George W. Bush, is already shaping up to be another no-holds-barred contest for McCain. Only this time, his primary opponent may well be Mitt Romney. The slate reports that McCain and Romney have already begun hiring South Carolina operatives in preparation for a race that many local political operatives are expecting will rival the viciousness of the 2000 Slaughterfest. Wow, they're being pretty brutal there in this assessment of the South Carolina mess. But yeah, Mitt Romney, I just don't see McCain pulling out this GOP nomination. I think it's Mitt Romney's to lose right now. They like to have another Reagan-esque type of a candidate in there, and McCain just doesn't come off as Reagan-esque. Romney has got the more of the, you know, slick back hair, a little more, you know, youthful look to him. I hate to say it, but he does look younger than McCain. So I think he might be the one to beat in 2008, should be not McCain. And also today, from going back to Afghanistan, Armitage says stakes higher in Afghanistan than in Iraq. He said, quote, "I would argue that the stakes in Afghanistan are much larger in the near term than they are in Iraq," said Deputy Secretary of State, former Richard Armitage. He said Monday at Singapore's Institute for Southeast Asian Studies, Armitage asserted that while violence in Iraq would likely remain internal for some time, a failure in Afghanistan could mean that the disastrous spillover into neighboring Pakistan, where Musharraf and Pakistan will not be successful in moving to invite and moderation. Whatever that means. In that scenario, Pakistan's hardline Muslims would gain control of that nation's nuclear weapons, leading to escalation with neighboring India. Armitage called on the international community to pay more attention to Afghanistan, where violence this year is the heaviest since 2001. Opium production is fueling a Taliban resurgence, and efforts to curtail the heroin trade have done little to hamper the drug industry and have hurt the country's poorest people. And that's from a new United Nations report. So that's very, very interesting. I say Afghanistan is the keep your eye on the Afghanistan now. And Giorgio saying that we in Canada have five times more troops killed than any other NATO countries in Afghanistan. So yeah, I feel sorry for these other countries that got sold that swampland in Afghanistan by Bush for NATO. But it's horrible. You know, I say he broke it. Powell say you break that. What the hell is that thing? The Pottery Barn thing. You break it, you bought it. So I don't know. And also from today, from ABCNews.com, U.S. Embassy asks Bush twins to leave the country. Amid a growing barrage of front-page headlines, U.S. Embassy officials strongly suggested President Bush's twin daughters, Jenna and Barbara Anheuser-Busch, cut short their trip to Buenos Aires because of security issues. But the girls have stayed on. Oh, that's nice of them, huh? Celebrating their 25th birthday over the weekend and producing even more headlines about their activities. Stories of the twins' visit took on wild proportions in the Argentinian press. One tabloid headline had the young women running nude in the hallway of their hotel. Hello. A report that the staff denied to ABC News. According to the sources, the U.S. Embassy encouraged the two girls to cut their stay short because of the added attention was making their security very difficult. But to their dismay and anger of some U.S. Embassy and security staff, the girls stayed on. Thursday night, an ABC News producer was able to walk into their hotel unchecked and engage Barbara Bush in conversation while she checked her email on a computer in the lobby. Jenna sat talking with friends on a sofa nearby. No Secret Service agents were anywhere to be seen in the lobby, according to ABC News. So that's interesting. You know, the girls down there and Secret Service is invisible. You know, where are they at the bar? And also from today, from the blog called Heretic, he says, my pet project. He says, won't you please help? The George Bush Lame Duck Library is looking for people to donate a spare 10 or 20 million, possibly from the tax breaks George got them. The Legacy Polishing Centerpiece is an institute which several Bush insiders call the Institute for Democracy, patterned after Stanford University's Hoover Institution. Bush's institute, I think he ought to be in an institution, huh? Bush's institute will hire conservative scholars and give them money to write papers and books favorable to the president's policies. One Bush insider said, rewriting history will be, rewriting history will be the first order of the day. Bright highlighters will be needed. Please help. Ask not what I can give to you. Ask what you can give to me. So they're going to start, Fox News Network already in charge of the paying them to write positive, favorable papers and all that and shows? Aren't they pretty much the Bush News Network over there on Fox? But anyway, and also today from MSNBC, Bush blames everybody but himself for the Iraq mess. Absolutely. The Mr. Magoo of politics. The United States will not withdraw its forces from Iraq before its mission of building a stable democracy is complete, President Bush said on Tuesday. addressing the conflict rocking Iraq. He said recent violence is a part of an al-Qaeda plot to goad Iraqi factions into repeated attacks and counterattacks. No question it's tough, no question about it, Bush said at a news conference with Estonian President Ives. There's a lot of sectarian violence taking place, fomented, in my opinion, because of the attacks by al-Qaeda, causing people to seek reprisal. So he's blaming al-Qaeda for that now. And then he's going to go to Jordan later this week to meet with al-Maliki. So hopefully, I think al-Maliki knows what he's doing. He'll tell Bush, you know, please get your troops out of our country. Some stories are saying that he thinks that the Iraqi forces will be able to keep somehow gain control of the country. He thinks a lot of this violence is, because the U.S. forces are still there after all this time. So I don't know if that's right or not, but why don't we give it a try? Like I said, pull the troops out to the border and stop the insurgents from coming in and guard those oil fields and let the Iraqis have at it and settle this. You know, I don't know why is that so hard to figure out. And also from this is from today, but also from yesterday, said NBC, Iraq in civil war. The White House disagrees, of course. NBC News on Monday branded the Iraq conflict a civil war, a decision that puts it at odds with the White House and that analysts said would increase public disillusionment with the U.S. troops' presence there. NBC, of course, a major U.S. network, said that the Iraqi government's inability to stop spiraling violence between rival factions fit its definition of civil war. The Bush administration has for months declined to call the violence a civil war, although the U.S. General overseeing the Iraq operation said in August that there was a risk, and a White House official on Monday disputed NBC's assessment. Don't forget, last week, Henry Kissinger also called it a civil war as well. So, anyway, again, if you call the civil war, disagree with them, you're anti-patriotic, you're a bigot, anti-patriotic, Nazi sympathizer and all that. So I guess because Kissinger called a civil war last week, and they disagree with anybody who calls it civil war. They call Henry Kissinger a Nazi sympathizer, I guess. I don't know. Also from today, Jerry Falwell, Romney's Mormonism will not be a factor. See, this is Falwell sticking a knife in the back of John McCain. Because you remember, a few months ago, McCain went down to Falwell's Liberty University and grabbed his ankles for Falwell. So now about Falwell's finding a new little girlfriend now. It's Mitt Romney. Falwell's said, of course, Romney's Mormonism will not be a factor. Mitt Romney's presidential run may be unpopular with evangelical Christians who say won't vote for a Mormon. But the idea of a Mormon running for the White House has now been deemed acceptable by one of the religious right's most influential figures, Jerry Falwell. The Associated Press reports that Romney had a meeting last month with a who's who of the Christian right, Falwell, Franklin Graham, Lou Sheldon, and others. Falwell told the AP that Romney's Mormonism would be a non-issue, saying where he goes to the church will not be a factor. How he lives his life will be. Romney has a good reason to talk early with the religious right's leading figures. A recent poll showed that over half of evangelicals say they won't vote for a Mormon. So, but then you see them circling the wagons because they really don't think Falwell and them really think McCain stands a chance against, I think everybody thinks that Hillary's going to be the Democratic Party's nominee, and I don't think they think McCain stands a chance against Hillary. So, or they feel more comfortable with Romney's views on abortion than they do with McCain. So, and also for Monday from Newsweek, Sword of the Shia, he can deal out death through his black-clad followers and roil the government anytime he chooses, while Muqtada al-Sadr may end up deciding America's fate in Iraq more than anyone else. Sadr personifies the dilemma Washington faces. If American troops leave Iraq quickly, militia leaders like Sadr will be unleashed as never before, and full-scale civil war could follow. But the longer the American occupation lasts, the less popular America gets, and the more popular Sadr and his ilk become. So, and I don't know why they didn't go after him, capture him, kill him when they had the chance. That's another thing. I don't know. I can't wait till when the Bush is out of office, we get these people writing these books and stuff, see what the hell were they thinking back then. And also from Monday, from the Capitol Hill Blue, from the rant, Iraq war firsthand, a mess, an absolute mess. The dwindling few who still, for reasons known only to God or their psychiatrist, support President George W. Bush's failed invasion of Iraq, continue to claim the situation is not as bad as portrayed by the media. which of course is nothing more than political wishful thinking. Just ask CNN's correspondent John Roberts, who went into Baghdad with the invading U.S. forces 3.5 years ago and recently returned from the war-ravaged country for a first-hand look. He said on Sunday's Reliable Sources, "This place is a mess. It's an absolute mess. There's nowhere you can go in Baghdad in the Baghdad area as a Western journalist without an escort, where you can feel safe from being kidnapped, shot at, or whatever. The amount of death that's on the streets of Baghdad for U.S. forces and for the Iraqi people is at an astronomical level." So that's pretty, they say, damning statements there from John Roberts. And you can't really call him a liberal journalist. He's pretty straight down the line there when he used to work for CBS, and now he's over on CNN. And also from Monday from the TPM Cafe, Dick Durbin pushes Obama to run for president. Senator Richard Durbin, Illinois, is calling on his supporters to urge fellow Illinois Senator Barack Obama to run for president in an email Durbin sent out to his backers. He said, and I quote Durbin, "In all my years in politics, I've only met one other person who connects with people as well as Barack does, and that's former President Bill Clinton. Durbin, an influential player in Democratic politics, wrote in an email urging them to sign an online petition that says a lot about Barack's superior skills as a politician and a leader." Durbin goes on, "I have complete confidence that Barack will be able to unite Americans across our country in support of a new agenda of hope." So Durbin's taking sides there. I wonder how Hillary feels about that. Yeah, he better have somebody else start his car over the next few months then. And also a poll, Giuliani is most popular political figure in America, and Obama is rising as well. A Quinnipiac poll found that Rudy Giuliani, the most popular politician, is a popularity rating of 64.2%, with only 9% not knowing enough about him to form an opinion. Barack Obama, 58.8%, with a whopping 41% of Americans not yet even able to form an opinion about him. John McCain, 57.7%, with 12% unable to form an opinion. Condoleezza Rice, the girl with the David Letterman smile, with 7%, she has 56.1% favorability, with 7% unable to form an opinion. And Bill Clinton, 55.8%, with only a mere 1% unable to form an opinion about him. So that's interesting as well. But how in the hell can these people be actually considering voting for Giuliani? I really cannot figure that one out at all. But as Tuesday report, Romney cast himself as Reagan. And the Boston Globe is a convincing piece in the paper laying out all the ways that Mitt Romney is fashioning his likely presidential bid on that of Ronald Reagan. The Globe reports that Romney has not only positioned himself as a similar personality to Reagan, a handsome, charismatic, conservative governor of a Democrat state, but is also lifting themes directly from Reagan's speeches. So, like I said, he's going to wrap himself in that Reagan mystique and try and grab that mantle, and the conservatives are going to eat him up. I'm telling you that. They'll lick it up like it's soup. And also, from Monday, Dobson, this clown, he's another Bible thumper from Colorado. Liberals have no values. I saw this on Larry King over the weekend. Dobson said on Larry King, James Dobson. And Larry King says, "Those again on the liberal end of the spectrum are those who have no value system." Or at least they say there is no moral and immoral. There's no right and or wrong. So I don't know. One thing he asked his buddy there, buddy Haggard, about the morals and all that when he's screwing that male prostitute up there while he's leading the church up there. You know what I'm saying? And also, for Monday, Rumsfeld okayed abuses, says former U.S. general. Here you go. This is all these can of worms going to open up now in January. Former U.S. Army Brigadier General Janice Karpinski told a Spanish newspaper that she had seen a letter apparently signed by Rumsfeld.
He's a fag. Uh-oh.
Not Rumsfeld? Rumsfeld?
I like penis.
Mr. Haggard.
I like penis.
Ted Haggard. A letter apparently signed by Rumsfeld, which allowed civilian contractors to use techniques such as sleep deprivation during interrogation. Karpinski, who ran the prison until 2004, said she saw a memorandum signed by Rumsfeld detailing the use of harsh interrogation methods. She said the handwritten signature was above his printed name. And in the same handwriting in the margin was written, make sure this is accomplished. Wow. The methods consisted of making prisoners stand for long periods of time, sleep deprivation, play music at full volume, and having to sit in uncomfortable positions. Rumsfeld authorized these specific techniques. The Geneva Convention says prisoner of war should suffer no physical or mental torture nor any other form of coercion to secure information. Prisoners of war refuse to answer, may not be threatened, insulted, or exposed to any unpleasant or disadvantageous treatment of any kind, the document states. So there you go. So you know what I'm saying? You know, Germany, somebody in Germany wants to charge them with war crime charges, go for it. You know, what the hell? Let's bring these people out and let them have it. And we're right there at our break, so we'll take a little break, and we'll bring on Joey from the Donkey Digest with a little discussion of what's going on this week, and we'll be right back in a couple of minutes. Thank you very much.
I'm George W. Bush, leader of the free world. I want to bomb Iraq, and when the world says no, I say, yeah, whatever. Saddam has started to meet our demands. Yeah, whatever. I talked to Colin Powell. He said,
sir, maybe we should give the inspectors more time.
I said, no, you know why? Because it's just my United States of whatever. Yeah, yeah. And this is my United States of whatever.
President Bush?
Hush up, don't talk to me now. And this is my United States of whatever. Leave it to me. Hello.
This is Putin. Russia will veto war.
I see. Whatever.
Mr. President, North Korea's got nukes.
Oh, ding dong dong, ding ding dong dong. Translation? Whatever.
I am Bin Laden. You still have not caught me.
I'm George W. You know what the W stands for? Yet.
Because this is my United States of whatever.
This is ding ding dong, ding 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 dong dong.
Whatever.
I hope you got the message.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
And we are back on Subject to Discussion live at LVRocks.com and S2DRadio.com. Thank you very much for joining us live and, of course, on the podcast. And now we'll be joined by Joey of the Donkey Digest. Sir, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome. And now we haven't talked to you since before the election. And what's your opinion of how it went?
Well, I'll tell you, I was pretty confident we were going to take the House. I had guarded optimism about the Senate. I really didn't think we were going to be able to get through in Virginia, but we did, and I'm happy for it.
And I'm on your blog right now, Donkey Digest. It's very nice, very easy to follow along. And you're on a few weeks ago, and let me see. Of course, on the top of your blog right now, it says Democrats must adopt a centrist course. Absolutely. Right?
Absolutely.
Yes. And Al Fromm, and he's actually, was it you that had an article not so long ago that said after the election, so many of the these incoming congressmen joined the DLC?
Yes, 16 of them.
Wow. Wow, that's pretty good there,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, it is. It is very good. Now that's being spun in the Netroots saying that's not really a lot. Mm. Of course, the Netroots were declaring before the election the DLC was dead. So you go figure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and then now you said you had an opinion about if Dean's plan really worked or not.
Well, Dean's plan certainly is starting to work on the local level in regards to state houses and governorships and things to that effect. But the House races and the Senate races, those were targeted races, and especially in regards to the House races, in the heavy Republican districts. And that was all candidate right there. We ran candidates that were more closer ideologically to the voters in the districts.
Now, you're from Georgia. You're in Gingrich's backyard, correct?
Yes, I am. I'm in his old district.
Now, what do you hear? We hear people saying, oh, he's going to run for president. Is that the opinion down there that he is going to run?
There's no talk about that down here.
Huh.
Nobody's buzzing about that. And, of course, he opened up his mouth and stuck his foot in it recently, and that's not going to get much play anyway.
Yeah. And now about the Senate, now, were you surprised? I was. I didn't think the Senate would go to the Democrats, but, I mean, it did, barely, but it's amazing.
I was surprised about John Tester winning out in Montana. I was very surprised that Jim Webb won. I wasn't as surprised that Tester won. The West is going our way anyway. But Jim Webb was a long shot. His opponent in Virginia was a rising Republican star, had presidential ambitions.
Absolutely.
But we certainly don't see Allen on that track anymore.
No, he is, as I said, stick a fork in Allen, he's done.
He's done.
As soon as he said macaca, the microwave went off and he was cooked. Yeah,
that's for sure.
And now, Montana's got a Democrat governor, Brian Schweitzer, who out here I hear rumblings that people want him to run for president because he's a Western governor, kind of I hate to use Reagan-esque, but Mitt Romney's already glomming on to the Reagan mantle, but also he's Reagan-esque, he rides a horse and all that stuff. So I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, I like Schweitzer.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the Democrats that are springing up out west are populists. A lot of people are saying that that's what we need, people that speak to the economic concerns of the middle class and the common man, which is good. And Tester is along the same route. I don't know if you read another one of my blog entries comparing Tester and Jim Webb's records, though.
Mm-hmm.
They are by no means quote-unquote progressive Democrats. They are centrists to the core.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then Jim Webb used to be Reagan's, Army Secretary, correct?
Most definitely.
Yeah,
and his
son, Webb's son, is serving in the Army as well. I mean, I know the last few months of the campaign, Webb was running around wearing his son's combat boots. Testament to his son. So it was amazing election. It's just how it turned out. But I mean, and now of course Nancy Pelosi's poised to be the next Speaker of the House, or first woman. What's your opinion about that?
Well, I like Nancy Pelosi.
Mm-hmm.
She is a little too liberal for my taste, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Democratic Party has always been a big tent, and there's room for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like some of the decisions she's making. I believe that. Trying to push Murtha over Hoyer for the leadership role seriously damaged her.
Yeah.
And she backed off appointing Alcee Hastings to that post today. Everybody thought she was going to do it. She should leave Jane Harmon in that position.
Mm-hmm.
Even the families of 9/11 victims want Jane Harmon in that position because the 9/11 Commission specifies that in these types of positions that the senior most experienced members be the chairman of them. I believe that if she doesn't pick Harmon, I believe that if she had stuck with Alcee Hastings and put him in that role, that would have very, very seriously damaged her credibility, and the Republicans would have been hitting us with that from now until 2008.
Oh, yeah.
She was very smart not to do it. I don't know how that's made the members of the Congressional Black Caucus feel, who are really pushing his candidacy for that. But I believe that she will lose still a tad bit of credibility if she doesn't leave Jane Harmon in that position. Jane Harmon is very qualified to be there, and quite literally nobody else on that committee is.
Yeah, well, I think MSNBC is talking about this bad blood between Harmon and Pelosi. I guess Pelosi didn't think that Harmon was tough enough on the administration in the lead up and the aftermath of the Iraq War, and then there's also apparently some personal animosity and between those two. So
that's true, but are we going to hear that for the next 2 years?
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi. Remember, it was bad blood between her and Hoyer.
Yeah.
And so she wanted to back Murtha. I mean, in every committee position that comes up, are we going to hear, well, there's bad blood between her and him and Pelosi, or her and Pelosi? I don't really think that those types of inter-party squabbles need to spill over into the street, so to speak.
True, true. Well, and then, it's the whole thing with Mirtha, and then, of course, you know, they trotted out all the app scam videos and all that stuff. That kind of, you know, damaged him as well. I just assume he, you know, not get it then, and then go through 2 years of seeing that video every night on Hannity and Combs and the other shows. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, the thing about Mirtha is Mirtha is my type of Democrat.
Yeah.
He's a very centrist conservative Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a bad thing in the world to say about him.
Mm-hmm.
But the scandals in his past, or the alleged scandals, are a lot to overcome.
Yeah.
And that's for sure.
Yeah, so maybe, you know, better if he takes a back seat and just stays in the background and let Hoyer have at it. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah, and then also on your blog a little further down, you talk about the about over half of the newly elected House Dems joined the DLC and all that. And now with the aftermath of the election, how do you think it puts things for 08? You know, a lot of people say, oh, Obama is going to be, you know, like it's like the deliverance of Christ or something like that, a way to keep elevating him up, you know?
Well, Barack Obama is... Barack Obama is a unique person. I don't believe he's ready. I don't believe he's ready for a national campaign. He's never been swift voted, so to speak. He's never had to put up with the negativity, the turmoil of a national campaign. It'll be tough for him. I don't believe he's going to be the guy, to be quite honest. It's going to be a centrist candidate. It's going to be somebody along the lines of an Evan Bayh.
Mm. Really? Him? Yeah, because I've been kind of swaying.
Going along the lines of him. I'm not necessarily predicting him.
No.
It's going to be a Bill Richardson, an Evan Bayh. It's going to be a Hillary Clinton even. But it's not going to be a Barack Obama. It's not going to be,
I don't think so either. And then, you know, I've been kind of looking at Vilsack a little bit more too, because I've been watching him on his website, and he's got MySpace. He's doing all the right things. You know, he's, you know, reaching out to the internet community and everything else. He's doing.
Well, he just picked up two key endorsements today already.
Yeah. Oh, who did he pick up? I missed that.
He picked up one of Kerry's biggest fundraisers, and the name escapes me.
Oh.
And not even hadn't thought I would talk about this today. I was going to blog about it in the morning. That's when I was going to confirm the information.
We could preview it then.
Excuse me?
We could preview it for your readers. You can go to Donkey Digest in the morning. You'll have the whole thing there, right?
Yeah, we'll talk about it tomorrow. he's picked up one of Kerry's, if I'm not mistaken.
It's not Teresa, is it?
I'm sorry, no.
She probably doesn't want her husband to run again. She'll fund anybody.
Iowa. You know, he's in Iowa doing his thing, and he picked up somebody there.
Yeah, well, he's got to win his own home state. If he doesn't, they say he's toast. And he's coming through here December 9th, I believe, through Las Vegas, because, you know, they moved Nevada up with the caucuses and everything else. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. He said the last handful of presidents have all been governors. And Clinton, of course, was a DLC member. And, of course, Vilsack is, I don't know if he's still running. He was, like, the chairman of it, wasn't he?
He still is.
Yeah, so it's interesting. And Hillary, I don't know. I say everybody knows I am for her, but I really don't know if she can get past those negatives. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the way I feel about Hillary is this. Mm-hmm. Anything that they can throw at Hillary has already been thrown at her.
True.
You know, a lot of the young voters today, the 90s and all that is a distant memory.
Mm.
It's so yesterday, so to speak.
Mm.
You know, people are just going to get tired of hearing the same charges thrown at her over and over again. And finally, they're going to say enough.
True. But, I mean, Evan, a lot of people say we could be at a point in 08 where we're, like, you know, Clinton out and same like we're Bushed out. We want to see another Bush. You know what I mean? We're fed up with both of those families. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I've heard people say that America doesn't need any dynasties, but, you know, we can't stop the democratic process.
True. Yeah. And what about Cheney over there in Saudi Arabia? Now it comes out that he was summoned over there
He was summoned over there. That's
yes.
Right. Apparently Saudi Arabia is pretty fed up with the Iraq war and how it's destabilizing the region, and that's the crux of it.
Mm.
The pressure's on.
Yeah, I mean, same way. But I said at the beginning of the program, doing my news commentary and all that, that, you know, once the Democrats take control in January, they're going to lift up that rock of all these scandals, you know, the no-bid contracts. They say it's. I think these next years are going to be one scandal after another with this administration, with, you know, everything. You know, it's going to be amazing watching this unfold, huh?
It is. And I think the smart course is going to be to have the hearings, bring the evidence to light, let the American people see what's happened, but not do anything about it.
No, no, you know, throw it out there.
Exactly, just throw it out there and say, okay, here's the information for you.
Yeah.
You know, we saw what happened when the Republicans tried to impeach Bill Clinton. There's a backlash against the Republicans.
Yeah,
you know, Democrats picked up House seats in '98 because of it.
Yeah, well, as I've said before, we don't want to. I don't want an impeach for an impeach, and then it'll never end. Yeah, you know, whoever gets in next, they'll go after him or her, whoever it is. You know, just throw it out there and let the American people chew it up, and the cable news networks will, you know, pound the drums. And we'll see where it lands. And then they, like I said, you know, he wants what, how much money to build his presidential institute?
$500 million.
He better have a big room for his screw ups. You know, better have a museum of Iraq screw ups. You know, 3-story addition to that room, huh?
Exactly.
I mean, $500 million, I guess, to build this institution.
I mean, how many copies of My Pet Goat does he need?
Or lock him up in that institution. Don't let him out till he admits he's made a mistake over there. You know, and he's over there, beating up on NATO because they're not wanting to send these countries aren't wanting to send any more troops to Afghanistan. I'm like, hello, you pawned this off on this bag of goods on them to begin with. Now you're demanding them send more troops to your mess that you started. It gets me all riled up that way. You know, we couldn't finish what we started in Afghanistan before we went into Iraq, where we had to divert it, and it's now both countries are a disaster again. Yeah, but I mean, now what about the question? I actually had a chat room, and somebody asked me that earlier about the you're a bigwig in the Democratic Party, right?
Well, I wouldn't call myself a bigwig. let me put it to you this way: the Democratic Party organization is a member of. It's a PAC, and it's one of the more respected and influential organizations in the state of Georgia.
Wow.
We get a lot of kudos from the state party, but big wig, nah.
No. Well, what about the idea, we all know that Harold Ford Jr. lost, which I thought he'd ran an outstanding campaign. What do you think of the idea floating around now is that the Clintons are going to push him to take over the party for Dean?
That's just a rumor.
Yeah.
Not only is it a rumor, there's absolutely no evidence of it either. James Carville, who's connected to the Clintons, of course, or was, floated that. But there's no evidence the Clintons are behind it, and there's no reason to do it.
Yeah.
You know, there were mistakes made in this last campaign. I'm of the firm belief that Howard Dean should have given up more money. It was like pulling teeth to get money out of the DNC to run some of these campaigns. But at the same time, you can't question the wisdom of building the party structure in all 50 states and challenging the GOP everywhere, which is Howard Dean's idea. No reason to replace Howard Dean.
No. Well, I've said that too. I mean, I always thought it was, the last few presidential election cycles, like, they gave up, sections of the country. I'm like, hello? If the party's ever going to, regain some footage in these parts of the country, they got to start somewhere,
Well, that's true. That's true. Of course, the last few presidential elections, there was a sense of, a sense of urgency.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can't lose. We've got to win this. And so what they did is they took out the maps, set down the battleground strategy, and tried to win in the states they knew they were going to win. Mm. And it has worked in the past. It will work again in the future. But it's not a smart way to win in the long term. It's a very smart way to win in the short term, but not a smart way to win in the long term.
True. Now, we think all these polls are coming out about Giuliani and his chances of being president. I think, he stands, I hate to say, a snowball's chance in hell of becoming president. I don't know, what do you think about that?
Well, that depends on how bad the GOP wants it.
Ah.
Does the GOP hate the Democratic Party enough to nominate someone who is pro-choice, who believes in global warming, who is essentially a Democrat at heart.
Yeah, gay rights. He's
believes
everything.
In gay rights, exactly.
Yeah.
Do they hate the Democratic Party enough to nominate somebody like that? We'll see.
Yeah, I really don't. O'Reilly's beating up on Pelosi with her San Francisco values. Well, Giuliani will bring his New York values to the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see that. I mean, I cannot, you know, nothing wrong with the man. He did good for the mayor. But what does he said he do for everything else going on with the country? Every answer to his question, any question you're going to ask him is going to be 9/11 or what? I mean, he has never stated anything beyond, I'm America's mayor, you know, blah, blah, I'm a hero. What exactly are you going to do about education? What are you going to do about, the borders, you know?
Well, I'm sure that if, as his exploratory campaign gains ground, he'll flesh those answers out a little bit.
Well, speaking of flesh, remember he brought in, he wanted Bush to give Carrick the DHS director spot, and it turns out he's, you know, fooling around with that Judith Regan, you know?
Flesh, yeah, that's...
I mean,
very good.
I mean, it's I call it guilt by association. We remember all about Giuliani's, you know, thing with his wife, and he announced he's divorcing her on TV, and his wife had to find out from the news and everything else. I mean, somebody else said. Bob Dornan says, we don't need we don't need any Republican candidates that have a problem with adultery and betraying their vows and everything else. You know, he doesn't want Giuliani to get the nomination. He doesn't want Gingrich to get the nomination. So, you know, apparently all those.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, the GOP has, as of now, has two choices in 2008, as of right now.
Mm-hmm.
John McCain, who's a maverick, who the base of the GOP don't like at all.
Mm-hmm.
And Giuliani, who is a former Democrat and still acts like one.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, will they grit their teeth and nominate one of them, or will we continue to pick some of the more moderate Republicans off and get their votes? And I believe it's crucial that we run a centrist candidate to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't think they'll nominate? I think Mitt Romney's the one to lose now. The nomination's his to lose.
You know, I'm going to have to disagree there.
Really?
There's not a prejudiced bone in my body. Mm. But looking at the polls, people aren't real comfortable with the fact that he's a Mormon.
Hmm. I don't know. A couple articles, he's kind of, you know, I hate to be, he's wrapping himself in that Reagan business. And I don't know. And Falwell has already stabbed McCain in the back. And, you know, he says, you know, Mormonism is not going to be a problem. So Falwell's already starting to fall in line. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Just he looks more photogenic than McCain does, you know.
Well, it's too early to say whether anybody's right or wrong about him.
Yeah.
But as it stands right now, I don't see Mitt Romney. I like Mitt Romney. Mm. He's, like you said, he's very charismatic, very Reagan-esque.
Mm.
Better looking than the other Democrat, the other Republicans that are running, and that certainly goes a long way in a campaign. But as it stands now, I just don't see Romney getting that.
Wow! Now, actually, I'm on your blog. Tell me, have you seen the movie Bobby?
I have not seen it yet.
No. Hmm.
Want to see it?
Yeah, it's supposed to be very good. I haven't seen it. I know they filmed part of it at the original hotel that they used in California before they tore it down, but it's gotten mixed reviews. Clinton wrote that if Bobby had become president, America's journey through the rest of the 20th century would have been very different. Yeah, how about that?
Bill Clinton called Bobby Kennedy the first new Democrat, specifically on Bobby Kennedy's views on the social programs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bobby Kennedy was well known on his views for welfare reform, for example.
Mm. Yeah, but it would have been interesting to see. I mean, how different? You think they have a JFK? I mean, what if he would have served, you know, his full term, and you know, and then probably handed it off to his brother? How different the country would be now if you know they haven't been assassinated? You know.
Well, you know, somebody actually wrote a study a work of fiction one time about it, if JFK had never been assassinated, and that's exactly how it played out. JFK would have served two terms, he would have handed the mantle off to his brother, but all through the 70s and 80s, they said that the country would have had Democrat fatigue, and Republicans would have dominated in the 70s and the 80s. Bill Clinton still would have been elected, though, in 92, that's it.
Hmm. What about President Carter?
Nope. Oh. He would have never happened.
Yeah, he was on Hardball today, and, you know, he makes a lot of sense with what's going on in Iraq and in Iran and all that. He's got, you know, of course, a perspective, you know, which you can't question because he's lived through all that. But it's just... it's amazing that if a former president can see it in Carter, if all these Kissinger can call the Civil War. I mean, I'm going back to Iraq, of course, but I mean, why can't this administration see the problems and not recognize there needs to be a change?
It's ponderous.
Yeah,
it's absolutely ponderous.
Yeah, and then everybody, because Carter gets the bad label as a horrible a president, and he has a botched foreign policy. I mean, good grief, Bush's foreign policy makes Carter look like FDR, for crying out loud.
Well, yes, it does. That's for sure. Yeah. You know, Jimmy Carter had the misfortune of several things. He inherited a already failing economy from the Nixon administration.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, he never had a good relationship with Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Democratic-controlled Congress. But
mm-hmm.
him and the Democrats in Congress never got along real well. And that sort of hindered his presidency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a question for you, come in the chat room. How is Zell Miller doing? Is he still alive?
I don't know if he's still alive or not. Yeah, he's still alive.
Yeah.
It's funny, I had to give a speech about a week and a half ago, and I mentioned Zell Miller in the speech. I said that Zell Miller had written a book about a year and a half ago, and some of you may remember it. He wrote a book about the Democratic Party. He called it A National Party No More.
Mm.
And I said that in light of the recent elections, it's now the Republican Party who's a National Party No More. The Republican Party is definitely now just the party of the South.
Yeah. He's kind of you haven't heard from him in months now. I mean, he was, crying about the end of the Democratic Party, and now all of a sudden.
Well, I have. He was campaigning
really?
For the Republican candidate for governor here in Georgia,
Sonny
Perdue, which was pretty disgusting. I mean, he's pretty disgusting anyway. But the Democratic candidate Mark Taylor served with Zell Miller.
Mm-hmm.
For a while he was in the state legislature, mm-hmm. and then when Mark Taylor became lieutenant governor, helped get some of Zell Miller's resolutions passed.
Mm.
So, not only did Zell Miller turn his back on his party, he turned his back on a very close personal relationship with somebody.
Amazing. But, I mean, for a while there, you saw him on Fox all the time and all that, but you haven't seen him on TV in months, and, good riddance to him, I say.
I say the same thing.
Absolutely. Now, I know it's kind of, I'm springing on you, but we've only got a couple minutes left. Who's your turkey so far of the year for in politics? Who's the turkey?
The turkey has got to be George Allen of Virginia.
Wow. Yeah. He really shot himself in the foot there because, they're positioning to run for president as a Reagan-esque type of candidate, and that Makaka just, what an idiot. I hate to say it, but it's true, right?
It's true. And Virginia's turning blue anyway. Virginia, we mentioned this in the last time we discussed it,
mm-hmm.
and I know you're running out of time,
mm-hmm.
and I mentioned the term purple state.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia's becoming a purple state. You know, they've elected two Democratic governors in a row. Now they've elected a Democratic senator. There's even a rumor that Mark Warner may run for the other Senate seat next go around instead of running for president. So it's slowly going our way there. But still, the election results there were a big surprise because George Allen was past tense, such a strong candidate.
Yeah. Are you surprised he didn't challenge the results further? I mean, it seemed like he went a ways and he just stopped, huh?
Well, he was behind by 7,000 votes.
Yeah.
And I don't see how he could have, with a straight face, and gotten any support from the Republican Party after the hell they put Al Gore through for challenging the results in Florida, when the results were, as close as 200, 300 votes in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, do you think he would? Everybody says he's no way in hell he's going to run for president. Do you really think he believes he won't be able to run for president? Or are you thinking in the back of his mind, I'm going to run for it anyway?
Huh? George Allen?
Yeah.
He'll probably run for it.
Oh.
I mean, he says, okay, I lost in Virginia, but the rest of the country will love me.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? I don't see how in the world he could pull that off, but yeah, and then he makes that statement in front of that big, some museum in Virginia, I guess, with John Warner and everything there. So they say he's going to try and resuscitate what's left of his image, I guess, huh?
Probably so.
Yeah.
I mean, you haven't heard the last of him.
Uh-oh. Like good or bad, it's like the dark side of the force coming at us again, huh?
Yeah.
So, well, Joey, there you go. At the end of our segment with you, we thank you very much for being on.
Well, thank you for having
and
me.
And you're welcome. We'll bring you on again. We'll check you out at DonkeyDigest.com.
Okay.
All right, and have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. And that was Joey from DonkeyDigest.com. We thank him very much for being on the program. And we'll take a break for the second hour. And when we come back, we'll have the math professor, Koenig Rules, will be on. Hopefully, I haven't seen him in the chat room yet. Hopefully, he'll be on to talk about the latest from 2 weeks ago of Galactica and Who, and what's coming up this week on Galactica and Who, as well as his turkey so far of the year for both series. So we'll be right back in just a couple minutes. Thank you very much.
Signed today directs new funds and new focus to the task of collecting vital intelligence on terrorist threats and on weapons of mass production.
Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
that the humans remain entertained until the end.
And welcome back to the second hour of Subject to Discussion, the Pop Culture Hour. Once again, I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. Call me anything you want. Just do not call me late for dinner. And thank you for everybody joining us live. And thank you for everybody for joining us in the chat room, all four of us. There's more people listening live than in the chat room. So you can still go into the chat room at lvrocks.com or s2dradio.com as they're connected there. And if you want, we have a message board over at mediaboulevard.com. You can click over there and post his message on the board. And now we'll be joined by the crazy professor, Dr. Koenig Rules. Crazy Professor Koenig Rules, are you there, sir?
Yeah, that was a psychedelic.
Hello. Wait a minute, the TARDIS needs a new muffler. Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, welcome back.
Yes, how was your Thanksgiving?
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Yes.
How was your turkey? Any turkeys?
Dude, are you calling from like which dimension?
What are you calling?
Can you hear me?
Are you fine? We're a little better now, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Were you calling from the alternate Earth or what? You calling with Ricky or Mickey?
Ricky or Mickey?
I don't think our phone patch is good on interdimensional portals.
Okay. Well, maybe it's Las Vegas tonight. You know,
it could be. Hey, who knows? Of course, we're in the garden spot of Las Vegas. But anyway, how was your Thanksgiving? It was wonderful. You said.
It was good. It was good. Had some turkey, you know.
Yeah, I was telling Con here that I'm on the Sci-Fi Galactica site, and
you are.
I haven't been on it in a while, but they have a thing.
They let you on?
Yeah, they still let me to the website. Only when I'm here, they can't trace me back home. But they have it says new to Battlestar Galactica. They have the story so far is on the website, and it's also said spread the word to make Galactica Battlestar number one. And they have you click on that, and it takes you to an inner screen where you can watch a recap on the side. You click on it, you can watch the recap of the first two seasons of Battlestar.
I saw that. It was on, USA one night.
Wow.
Before season three started.
Yeah, no, this is a three-minute recap. This is a three-minute one.
Okay, 3 minutes, okay.
But it's very good that they're trying it. Now, what do you think of the big news, that they're moving Galactica when it comes back to Sundays?
I'm telling you, it must be your show.
Absolutely.
You know, that you just told them, come on, get rid of it on Friday nights, move it to Sunday. Instead of a 1.5, it could be a 1.3.
You really think they're going to get hit by the rate? I think they're going to go up.
Well, you know why. Hold on. You know why they're doing this?
Why?
No, why?
To submit to a friend.
Oh, why? To get your...
So they can take credit and not Sean.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. They'll say,
look, our rating's gone 4-4. It must be our tell a friend thing.
Well, I am wearing the Battlestar Galactica bomber leather jacket here. Now, somebody else said last year when I was wearing this jacket, oh, is that a Battlestar Galactica original series jacket? I go, no. If it was, I wouldn't be wearing it.
I thought it was a MacGyver jacket.
But I think I'll take full credit for moving that show to Sundays, because now I think it's going to have more of a life to it than on Sundays than on Fridays.
There's nothing on Sundays, right?
Well, not until the 4400 comes back in January.
No, 4400 will come back in May or June.
Oh, okay.
So they'll be done with Battlestar.
Oh, well, and then they'll have Dresden Files out up in front. Dresden Files looks interesting.
Yeah, I think it's good that they're not pairing it up with Doctor Who, because Doctor Who is a little bit of a different show than Battlestar. So if Dresden Files takes a dark turn, I mean, they need two dark type of shows back, I think.
Yeah.
I think, though, this might be the death kiss for Doctor Who.
Uh-oh.
I mean, well, it's not doing well. It's like a 1.0, a 0.9. Hey, did you see the ratings, though, for 2 weeks ago? Even though Battlestar did, like, either a 1.5 or 1.6, it beat wrestling.
Wow.
It beat wrestling by 0.1.
Yeah, ECW is one of those that...
It was the number one rated show on Sci-Fi.
Yeah, ECW. There we go. ECW, if people like it for a while, then you get sick of all the chairs and all that stuff, and it wears on you after a while. People get sick of it.
It's the same thing, right?
Yeah, it's the same thing every week, so people get sick of it after a while. But now,
but then isn't this the same thing every week?
What, Battle Galactica?
No, what you do with Koenig Rose and...
I'm not hitting you with a chair or anything like that. But anyway, everybody's asking, what's your turkey so far of the year so far for Galactica?
I think it's the episode, just because it was so slow-moving, Collaborators.
Ooh.
You know, I like the first two-part. I really like the two-parter with the virus.
Yes.
But I think Collaborators, out of all the episodes, that's had the weakest type of delivery.
They're going to re-air these? Are they going to re-air these so I can see the ones that I missed?
Yeah, but then they'll probably be 0.8s and 0.7s and 0.5s.
Yeah, I don't care as long as I see it.
Yeah, where are the Galactica reruns at? They're not airing those anymore either. They're making you watch it.
They'll probably do that like a Sci-Fi Day of Battlestar, like where they'll show 8 episodes in a row. Probably they'll do that during the interim, or you know, during the holidays when it's off, right before it comes back, they will probably air the first.
I thought they did announce something like that. They are going to do like a 24-48 hour marathon. I thought they announced it somewhere. I don't know. I can't find it out.
Battlestar?
I thought so.
Hey, Sean, really? You should like your last show of the year. Mm-hmm. Maybe plan it. Maybe for next week started. Maybe even include your listeners.
Oh. Thanks. In what?
Contest? Like predictions or, ooh, I don't know what you want to call it, but predictions and like stuff that you want to happen for 2007, things that you don't want to happen for 2007.
On Battlestar.
Yeah.
No, for anything sci-fi related.
Oh,
maybe.
Yeah.
Or even like 4400 and...
Yeah, anything.
Let's see Shatner show up on Battlestar.
Oh, God.
Admiral Kirk.
That's a base star.
He's already showing up on another show. I don't remember what it is.
A game show and everything.
No. He's showing up on something else.
Oh, really?
Really?
Now, of course, you said Collaborators is your turkey of the year so far.
Yes.
I think this one coming up is going to be the turkey of the year, the boxing episode.
But I saw some other scenes where... Is this the one where they find out what happened between Starbucks and Apollo in terms of why they distanced themselves?
Yeah, but the whole boxing thing's got such an original series. When they played that basketball game, feel to it. You know what I mean?
I mean, if they did get into the characterization as to why they separated, it might be good. But
I don't know.
It might be a turkey.
Where do they find the stuff to put together a boxing ring and all that? You know, I mean,
from USA Network.
They borrowed it from the wrestling. I mean, I can see if they don't want to do any Burl Heavy show or something. Well, instead of doing this type of show, can't they like do a show set in the fleet? Or, you know, do something like that.
They're going to tie in sci-fi. They're going to tie in Battlestar with ECW. You're going to see a new
series
character. No, you're going to see a new character in ECW.
Uh oh. Oh no.
They call it the Toaster.
Oh, he's no.
No. No, it's going to be a wrestler, but he's going to come out with a toaster. That's going to be like a secret.
Oh, God.
Like instead of a suitcase,
he's going to talk to her.
Yeah, he's going to talk to it.
Burn people with
the toaster. He's going to put a happy face on it, like the volleyball from Castaway.
Oh, who knows? Anything's possible these days. But, I mean, I just wish they would do this. Instead of using this like filler show, they'd focus on the fleet for an episode or two.
I think you should contact the Moors and tell them about that, you know?
No, I'm finished contacting the Moors.
Contact ECW. That's a great gimmick. Have a wrestler comes out with a toaster with a smiley face on it.
That'd make it worse. I don't want. Please, I already take credit for moving the show. I'm gonna be getting the credit for sinking the show altogether. You know, all thing we're missing now is the Muffet to show up. You know.
Oh, wait a minute! You've given Ron Moore another episode.
But anyway, it's a good series. I might keep like I'm bashing the show. I'm not bashing Galactica.
Did you hear what they're doing with Jericho? That they I'm not sure if they've yanked it off yet.
What?
But they divided season.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's
well,
old news.
They're doing
I
that.
I think that's the justice for stuff like that on CBS.
What?
Because what will happen is that some of the fans that will be watching it, they will think it's been canceled. Mm. They will lose some of the diehard fans, and it's supposed to attract some of the new ones. They're not going to watch it by
then. I don't
them.
Think so. Okay. I think CBS
Look,
is going to
you know
promote the hell
with,
out of it.
You know what's wrong with splitting a show like Jericho into two separate seasons?
Mm. No, what?
Well, the same thing that they the same trap that they fell into Lost or 24.
And Lost is doing badly now. I mean, it dropped in the ratings this season.
No, what I'm saying is,
okay, I know.
It's not like CSI or Bones, where
right.
there's a beginning ending of each episode.
Yeah.
Right.
This, like 24 or Lost, it's
That's
a continuation.
Episodic. Yeah.
The right. whole season is one long episode.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So right. that's the thing with Jericho they're going to run into. People are kind of going to forget, well, it's going to be on, not on for two
right.
months.
Yeah.
Now they got to remember.
I feel like it's going to get canceled as
look,
a result
this
of
is,
that.
This is the problem with the network. They need to take a cue from FX.
Mm-hmm.
They have different shows showing different parts of the season.
Mm-hmm.
That's
fall
right.
season, they show Nip Tuck.
Right.
Like winter, early spring, they show The Shield.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then the summer, they show Rescue Me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And they keep that same little format.
Right.
And it's the same time, Tuesday night at 10. Obviously, it's only one show, but, you know. And
yeah.
Fox took that cue. They took 24,
yeah.
and they said, fine, we'll just put it on January, and we'll just run every episode.
Same thing with
right.
American Idol.
Right.
American Idol comes
right.
out in January and runs for 20 weeks straight.
Because yeah,
you know?
People don't
right.
want to wait, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Oh, what the hell is this? Wait a minute.
Where are you going to? what is this?
What is this?
Oh,
no,
that's
no.
horrible, Sean.
I'm on the...
oh, my God.
I'm on People Magazine. It surprised me. I thought it would be an article.
You know, I think you need to change the show name from... It's STD, but it'll be stud. Capital S, capital T, small U, capital D.
Well, I'm on the I'm on the Galactica site, and they have people.com named Jamie Bamber, the one of the internet's sexiest guys. So I went and clicked on it and see the article, but damn, I have a naked picture of him. But pardon me. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Now, the last episode, I thought it was pretty good with the guy from Mantis.
Yeah. It was very good.
Bulldog.
Yeah, I really like, especially where they focused on Adama sort of been instrumental in the leading up to the Cylon War, and where he issued directives in terms of going into zone, I guess the neutral zone or whatever you want to call it, and then the Cylon spotting the crab. I thought that was really good that he, in his own way, was a little bit instrumental in shaping the. History of the Cylons attacking the colony.
That
was cool. That was very cool. Plus, Carl Lumley, who played the character Novacek, he was excellent.
Oh,
he was
great. I'm glad they didn't kill him off or anything. So they sent him into
so they can bring him back.
Yeah,
I hope they bring him back this season. He's an excellent actor.
Yeah, they sent him off into the fleet. I think they will. Maybe the cliffhanger will involve something with a base ship or something like that. And since he's been in one, he'll
because
be involved.
Because he's been in the base ship,
yeah.
so he would know some of the inner workings.
Yeah.
Actually, this was one of the few episodes where Baltar wasn't focused on at all.
Yeah,
that was good because I think they need. I think part of the show's weakness is that it always focuses on the same characters without actually introducing new ones that then die off later.
Yeah,
and I think you'll agree with me that when they introduced Dean Stockwell as a new Cylon model, and he was in it for at least several episodes. That was cool, too, because you can never kill him off, either. So as long as they have new recurring characters, I think that will keep the show alive.
Yeah, and then also Sharon wasn't in it Friday
That's
either.
Right. Right.
Starbuck was in it a little bit, not heavy. The last few episodes, she's been kind of like off to the side. The episodes have basically been hogged up by Adama, and of course, I am surprised because Ty's had a real huge role this season, and he's not even the main cast. You know.
I know.
Yeah, good for them. But Adama agonized. I like how he broke down in front of Apollo and crying that he feels guilty about He thought he started the whole war and everything else, right. And Apollo felt bad.
But Rosalyn is kicking ass. Isn't she? She's so much stronger than Adama. I mean, mm-hmm. where she was basically saying, "You need to attend this ceremony. They're going to look up to you as a hero." And if this is the crime that you have to pay for, this is it. I mean, she has gotten back not only to herself, but she has really grown in the role of president. I really like that. In some respects, I think she's a lot stronger than Adama.
Oh, yeah. No, I like that.
Because he's actually confiding in her. I mean, it's almost like, not as a lover, but almost like he needs to consult with her before he makes any major type of decision, which is really cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and then, I think the others don't think he actually made a mistake. That's why she didn't really see what he did as a big mistake, where he's agonizing over this.
I think Lee does. I really think Lee does, because remember when he was being acknowledged and getting the medal, Lee looked a little bit reserved because he knew the truth, and it was sort of like, oh my God, my father could have been responsible for the destruction of the colony.
Really?
So I'm not sure if this now is going to set the schism between the two of them now, you know?
Well, I thought when they were together that Apollo was trying to say, tell his father that, no, he had nothing to do with it. You're just following orders.
But remember, I mean, you can be following orders, but it seemed like he was a little bit reserved at the ceremony. He knew more than most of the other people. But Adama isn't as clean as people thought originally, which makes him a vulnerable type of hero, which is good. But I like to still figure out what's going on with these Cylons, with the Hidden Five that you haven't seen, with Lucy Lawless. What's going to happen with her as she rises to Godhead? You know, I mean, there's got to be a lot of stuff happening there, because she goes off, I think, after episode 11 or 12 of the season.
Yeah, she's done. She's only signed up.
Something's got to happen, right? Because there's only, about another 3 episodes before the break?
Yeah, and how many episodes are we on now? What episode are we
on
here?
308 or 309 now?
Well, yeah, because they only have one or two until they're done for the year.
I know.
Yeah, and then so your turkey is collaborators. How about with who? Who's what's your turkey of who so far this season? It's kind of hard.
Can you give me the titles of the episode?
Are you kidding me?
Come on!
It
was the first one.
Oh, really?
New Earth.
Oh, you didn't like that one, huh?
No, because it didn't make any sense why they brought back Cassandra. It made absolutely no sense whatsoever. I mean, it was a fun episode, but it just I didn't see any need. I mean, with all the villains they have, they didn't have to bring someone as crazy and as strange as Cassandra back. I mean, they could have had that episode even without her.
Yeah, that was a little odd. And then we're waiting to see how that resolves with the face of Bo, remember? He's going to see him again.
But I got news for Doctor Who.
Uh-oh.
Captain Jack Harkness, he's going to be in the last 4 to 5 episodes of Season 3 of Doctor Who.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, what's that? No, that's probably leading up for the new series to start, the Torchwood in the UK, right?
Well, it's already started.
Really?
It's already started, but I think what they're going to try to do is maybe some crossover or whatever. I'm not sure how Torchwood is doing in the ratings either, but Captain Jack's going to be in the last, I think it's 4 to 5 episodes.
Really?
That's pretty cool.
Interesting. A question for you in the chat room. Have you seen the webisodes, all the webisodes?
Yes.
Really? Do you like them, or?
They're okay.
They're okay?
I think they're designed, I think, more for the diehard fans. I think for the new one that want to tune into Galactica, I mean, it's sort of like, I don't think it would draw new people in to the show as much as the diehard fans. So it's okay.
Also, another question for you is, what do you think of Ty coming to the rescue of Adama? I thought that was outstanding. Ty came to the rescue.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he kicked ass. Didn't he? I mean,
beat
wow.
the hell out of
wow.
Bulldog there. He whacked him with the pipe and the one
That's
one
right.
eye.
It was great. Yeah. It was great. Yeah. I like you said, he should be in the principal cast. But mm-hmm. then, if he's in the principal cast, if they're thinking of killing people from the principal cast, they might make him one of the ones. So I hope not. You
no.
know?
Well, and then I like that whole thing. Like when the beginning of the episode, he went to Ty and he wonders what the hell am I, what I came to here for. And then, you know, I guess Ty's the one that told Bulldog about what happened because he thought Adama had already told him. You know, and then a big showdown in the officers' mess there with Bulldog and Adama. He really came to the rescue of him. And then
it was great.
Yeah,
it was a great episode again. It reminded me, and I hate to say this, like some of the original episodes, I could easily have seen Glenn Larson doing something like this as well, except with Starbuck being held in a base star and then his escaping the base star. But so it had elements of something like the original series, too.
Yeah.
I think this year they're focusing much more on action. Some of these episodes.
Well, I like what Ty was saying to Bulldog that you pick up the bottle or you put it comes a point where you put down the bottle and you come out of your room and then Adama asks him did you do that Ty or did you just do that or something like that. I thought that was very very powerful words. Ty was telling to Bulldog there.
Yep.
Yeah. And then the ending scene of course was Ty going to Adama. And and then he doesn't know what I mean. You know, everybody's saying, "What's he wearing that flesh-colored eye patch for?"
What was that?
How come Ty is wearing the flesh-colored eye patch?
I don't know. Maybe to make him look normal, so he doesn't look like a pirate. If he wore a black one,
there's a black one. I've never seen a flesh-colored eye patch in my life, and here Ty is wearing one. I don't know. And they showed his eye in the beginning of the episode, missing eye. I'm like, wow.
Oh
really the effects. You know, I thought, they just won't show it at all. They'll just keep it in the dark so you can't see it.
Right.
But they're really
it was good. It was
the effects. They really stepped up the effects this year, first class. What else? Oh, and then Adama says, "Why don't you tell me what happened to Ellen?" And that's how they, I could use a drink, and they, Now I wonder, is Ty going to return to the, to the CIC or what?
I don't know. I think he will. I think he will. As a result of this, I think they formed a friendship of sorts again. So I think so. I think Adama really wants to reestablish the connection with Ty. And I think he also understands, too, what's happened with Ty on the planet, too. I mean,
Yeah. And then another question, where has Blanders been?
He's supposed to be in about 5 episodes altogether or 6. So I think they're just stringing him out for the entire season. He's supposed to be in this week's one.
Oh, really?
Because that's where we learn the separation between Apollo and Starbuck and then her getting married. So he'll be in this week. So, for those who love him, I don't think he's bad. I actually think he was pretty good this season, what I've seen of him. But I don't think he's bad. It's just maybe it's inconsistent for Starbuck to be marrying someone, because he didn't think she was, quote-unquote, marriage material in the first 2 seasons, So that seemed a little bit odd that after a year she gets married.
Yeah. And then another question, where has Callie been? Well, Callie's off taking care of the baby, isn't she?
I know they're talking about Callie and the chief might possibly die, in chat rooms and on sci-fi boards. But from what I understand, nothing's going on there. So my guess is the chief and Callie are still going to be alive by the end of season 3. So.
Yeah. I found it amazing when they showed them back on the ship that Callie and Tyrell didn't have their own cabin with the baby. It's like they're in the officer's thing with the baby. If they don't, you think they would have made, here I am thinking maybe they should make their own little quarters for these people that have kids now,
Yeah, well, maybe they don't have the money for such like that,
Well, they have some money.
I know. I'm grasping.
You're going off into the real, the product. I'm still in the Galactica reality there, and on the series. Well, I know. I'm just wondering.
I'm talking about sci-fi budget here. sci-fi budget. Oh, Well, I don't know. We have to make another set for Kelly and the Chief. Ooh, that'll cost at least another $100,000. Can we spend that with the rating of 1.5? I don't know.
Oh, they can make a little room. They can take a little bit of Kane's old quarters.
You need to contact Sci-Fi or the production company in Canada.
Yes.
And just sound them out with your ideas, and I'm sure they will listen to you before they hang up.
Well, no, I just wonder about these things, because you have some of the characters are married now, like Kara and Anders. Now, where are they at? Are they living in, are they in separate quarters, or are they in the officers' quarters?
They're in one of the launch tubes, I think.
And where's Hilo and Sharon or Athena now? I mean, are they in their own quarters, or is Hilo?
Oh, this almost sounds like a Leave It to Beaver episode.
Well, no, we just wonder about these things. Are the two of them living in that cell that they built for her, or are they off living somewhere? You don't know. Adama seems like Adama and Ty seem like the only two that have their own quarters.
That's true. Maybe Adama and Ty should live, or maybe Adama should shack up with the president.
Yeah. I don't know.
give up his quarters to, I don't know.
Well, Giorgio was saying if they kill Kelly, does this mean that Boomer may be coming back aboard the Galactica?
Really? They kill Kelly?
No, if they kill Kelly.
Oh, well, Boomer, I haven't heard that they're going to kill Kelly.
Well, Boomer is on
Battlestar.
But I have
heard they're going to kill someone by episode 16.
Ooh, really?
Major character, but it isn't Kelly.
Huh, well, she's not, I don't exactly
no,
consider
she's not a
major
her
major.
It's something that probably will affect episode 17 through 20.
Wow.
That major, yep.
Wow. Yep. Well, Koenig, well, there you go. End of our time
with
you.
Oh, by the way, the Doctor Who one was great.
Which one?
The Doctor Who episode was great. Oh. Part 2 is this week. It's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. He meets the devil.
Yes.
All right.
The devil.
All right, Koenig. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
All right, off into the TARDIS. Off you go. Have a good night. Oh, he's gone. We thank the crazy professor, Dr. Koenig Rules, for being on. And in a moment, we join by the mad rocket scientist, Dr. Net Ranger, with a pop culture discussion. And we'll go through the winning essay in just a moment or so from our Battlestar Galactica essay contest. Hundreds have entered the contest, yet there will only be one. There's only one winner. And so we'll announce the winner in just a moment. But everybody knows I love Galactica. I mean, hell, I've been talking about it since January of 2005. So just glad to see it's moved to a new day, a new night. Back at its old 10 o'clock, here in Vegas, it'll be on at 10 o'clock on Sundays. I think it's a better chance of getting some more viewers and more people at home to be able to watch it live. It's especially in January, it'll be cold in most parts of the country. A lot of people sit home, especially on Sundays. It's the most watched night of television viewing of the 7 days. So I have good hopes. I may say, we'll see, two or three more seasons of Galactica on Sunday nights, or one or two more seasons of Galactica on Friday nights. Because if the ratings kept dropping on Friday, how much longer is Sci-Fi going to hold on to the series? You know what I mean? I know on the message board, Mrs. Rhino, Sci-Fi's happy with the show. The ratings are falling. They don't care. I think they care. I mean, the bottom line is the ratings and the advertisers. If it goes below a one, hello. I mean, why keep that show on with the expensive as it must be? They just throw in some rerun of Sliders or something like that. So anyway, I'm just glad they're moving it, and we'll get some more seasons out of it. And I really like the way they've redone this the Sci-Fi Battlestar site. They really did the top notch there with the redesign. Podcast commentaries on the right with the Ron Moore's blog and David Icke's blog and the Resistance episodes and all that. So my compliments to Sci-Fi for updating the Battlestar site. So now we're joined by Dr. Net Ranger with our pop culture discussion. And Dr. Net Ranger, are you there, sir?
Yes, Sean. How's it going?
Oh, very good. How are you?
Oh, doing well.
Very good. Very good. I'm just complimenting Sci-Fi and the redesign of the Battlestar sites. They've done very well with that.
Yeah, that's something, isn't it?
Yes. Very nice picture of Mary McDonnell on the right hand side there. So anyway, how was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was very good.
Very good. Yes.
Yeah, I actually got home, and now I'm actually on another trip, so I'm. We need to take the show on the road. I've been calling you from the road the last couple of weeks.
Oh, yes. You're on the set of Battlestar, aren't you? Aren't you in Vancouver?
No, actually, Seattle. But,
Seattle, that's close enough.
Mm. Yeah, we could tell people that. Maybe they'll listen.
Yes. I mean, you can wander over there and see if they'll let you in. Huh?
Yeah, can I use your name?
Yeah, please. They'll shoot you on sight.
That'll be definitely a way to get security on you.
Yeah. They got secret service there. Oh my God, not him. It's like saying the Bush Al Qaeda is here to see you. You know? But anyway, yeah, go say hello to Katie Sackhoff for me, please.
I'll do that.
Yeah. So now we want to announce the winner of the essay contest. Do you want to announce the winner?
Well, I thought I'd let you do it, but I'll announce the winner and then announce the runner-up or something. Wes I.
Yes.
That's his username on the site.
And yes.
Should point out, we had two entries this time.
No, right? Hundreds of entries. What are you talking about? I saw...
Well, 200.
200.
200.
200 of entries.
Yes.
We actually had a celebrity entry, though. Ooh. I haven't picked up on that.
A celebrity entered, yes.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know if we're allowed to give out his name, who the celebrity was. I don't think we want to.
Oh, I think so. No, I think we can. Yeah, Eric Chu, the Cylon God. Who, I don't know. That's why I want to put that. He's. I don't want him to come kill us if we. since he didn't win the grand prize there. But.
He designed the new Cylons, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He runs the company that had the contract for the miniseries. He's actually not on the. Not on the regular series, but he came up with the new look and the new design for the Cylons, the Galactica, the Raptors, pretty much everything that's a part of the new show. So
good for him. Sorry, he's. I don't think we have a prize for the runner up, do we?
Well, actually, we have. Yeah, I think we do, but we'll figure that out.
I think we got the Frack You T-shirts, don't we?
Yeah. Well, we did get the two CD sets for the 2.5 and then the complete set for the grand prize. So
Wes,
we'll send him something that we'll find something since he bothered to enter. We didn't get Aaron Douglas or Katie Sackhoff, though. I'm not sure why they didn't enter.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they need any more. I'm sure they got Galactica DVDs coming out of their ears, but I mean,
yeah.
You know. And then a little excerpt from the winner from Wes One's entry. He says, "I would be remiss if I did not mention the fantastic job of Michael Hogan. Absolutely, he has done such a fine job of acting that I believe worthy of an Emmy this season. Season 3 has been one episode after another of Michael Hogan doing an amazing job of showing just how far Ty has fallen since his rescue from New Caprica." He goes on, "Here was a man who murdered his wife for collaborating with the Cylons, came back aboard Galactica, where Adama received the credit for the rescue, and then finally turned into a raging alcoholic that hit rock bottom. Even now we're not sure just how far he'll pull himself up. He may have made progress, but how far he will come remains to be seen. I could mention many other examples of incredible acting, but that would take a large amount of time. Battlestar Galactica is filled with talented actors who know their job and do it well. That is another part of the reason why I find this show so addictive and why it is one that I never want to miss an episode of." So that's an excerpt from Wes One. Absolutely. Very, very, very well laid out. Very, yes, I agree with all his points. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I was really glad to see that. You know, somebody really took it serious and actually wrote up a really good essay, and that will appear in the Media Boulevard magazine at some point, which was another part of the contest.
So yes,
I can say he's a published author.
Very good. Yes, the full essay, because it's quite long. It's like I have it here. It's must be at least what, 1,000 words at least.
Yeah, I think we reduced the word limit to 100 or so to get some more entries. But he took it to heart and did a full up job, a good one.
Yeah, the essay covers the miniseries and on through to the current season. So very out, right. very good. He ends it by he will continue to enjoy the ride as I follow the ragtag fleet on its way to the 13th colony of Earth. So very good. So and then of course this week in pop culture, we're going to talk about some of these new series. We asked Koenig his turkey of the year with Galactica and Who. What's your turkey series of the year so far? What's your turkey? Smith?
You know, I'd have to say Vanished, actually.
Ooh, really?
And, come on!
Let me kind of put that in context.
Okay.
You're breaking up. Hold on. I got to reconnect you. You're breaking up.
Coming off, God. I mean, I absolutely loved the series when it first came out.
Just to let everyone know, Vanished fans, you can go to myspace.com/fox to watch the latest episode like I did today. Do not use Firefox. It doesn't work Firefox. You got to use Internet Explorer for some reason.
But you think that was the turkey?
Yeah. Well, you know, what I don't understand is, you know, even this decision, and the reason I'm giving it the turkey award here my turkey award is, well, first off, the killing of the main character, but I kind of got over that. And, you know, I did watch the next couple of episodes on Friday nights on TV, and I was kind of getting back into it. And then all of a sudden they announced this thing that, oh, we're not going to show it anymore. You have to pick it up on the web on, you know, MySpace's conscious.
Well, don't blame Fox. Give the turkey award to Fox.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, I think the turkey award kind of encompasses
the
entire effort of the show, though. I mean,
Fox.
It was getting more viewers, even after the killing of the main character and the move to Friday night, it was getting more views than you know, some of the other shows that got picked up for a full season. So,
yeah, so that does make sense.
I thought they gave up on the show when they decided to kill off the main character.
Yeah, I think they did. You know, but they...
I think they were like, oops.
I mean, they regret it now.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you look at Fox, I mean, they canceled Vanished, they canceled Justice. It just came out today. This is kind of off script here, but it just came out today that they're canceling the OC.
Ooh, so, wow.
Like I said, didn't I tell you that moving Justice to Monday night is going to kill off both shows?
Yeah.
Wow. OC is gone. Good riddance to that garbage.
Like I said, that them killing off the main character on Vanish was the most single best
dumbest thing they ever.
The best thing that I've ever seen in a TV series, and since maybe 24, a couple of years ago,
or when Bobby Ewing died on Dallas.
Because you're not expecting it. You'll never expect the main character to die.
Yeah.
And for them to do that, I thought that was phenomenal. And then replacing him, after a week, I was like, oh, I don't see him. But after that, I could care less. Who cares? It's still a great episode.
Yeah, well, it's good we can disagree here.
So the OC is gone. Now, what about Daybreak? That show is a disaster, huh? I guess it's losing ratings.
I think it's not my title. Everybody's stealing it. But is Daybreak already broken? I mean, that's what everybody's saying.
Well, Vanished has definitely already vanished, so.
Well, you know, Daybreak, the Lost replacement, came in to take place at Lost during this hiatus. And, you know, I think ABC's got to really be kind of wondering about that decision. I mean, the show is actually, it's down, getting ratings, it's probably the lowest rated show in ABC primetime right now, after the second episode.
Really?
Down around 6 million viewers, down from 16 million or so that Lost had. And just to kind of put it in perspective, the show it was up against last week was a repeat of Cheaper by the Dozen, the movie on Fox, which has been out for, they've already had Cheaper by the Dozen, too.
With Steve Martin what the hell's your name? That blonde.
right. But you know, not even that good of a movie. And that got better ratings than Daybreak. So.
Yeah, but Madonna's special even was behind.
Yeah.
I think that came in fourth.
Yeah, Madonna's special bombed in the ratings. And then what else is on it? 30 pounds. 3 pounds, right?
Pounds. Yeah, that's a CBS new hospital drama about neurosurgeons. And it's actually doing much better than Daybreak. It's doing better than, again, some of the other shows that have gotten picked up for a full season, but it's already doing worse than... Smith was during the same time slot when Smith got canceled.
Huh. So,
well, another one that started tonight, Big Day, the wedding comedy.
I saw the previews of that. It looked
terrible.
You know
what's going on here. You know what's going on. Let me tell you what's going on here. My words of wisdom.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Idiocracy, one of the two. There's a fine line between being very smart and very stupid.
There's also a fine line between reality and fantasy.
That's true, too. I think what's going on here is the younger viewers, they're hooking on to new technology as far as like internet or TiVo.
Mm-hmm.
Where the old people, they don't.
Yeah.
So they watch, and you know, older people, they don't have much to do anyways. So when they have something to do, they watch, right? Yeah. They got to watch what they want to see. I guess they get to tape it, but, you know, they mostly watch when they want to watch it. You know, if the show's on Wednesday night, I'm going to watch it Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And what's happening is most of the viewers that are actually counted as for the ratings are the older people.
Yeah.
And the younger shows, like maybe like Daybreak is for a younger audience, or maybe Vanished is for a younger audience, because there's a lot of stuff going on, or even Prison Break. Not getting that many ratings because a lot of the younger audience maybe tapes it and it doesn't go towards the ratings.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
A possibility.
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, one thing You know, that's a pretty good point, actually. And,
I should be working for, like, CBS or something, right?
Sci-fi
channel. Actually, Nielsen Ratings has been talking for the last few months about actually adding to their counts, adding internet viewership or, keeping track of how many downloads and how many. Pretty much every network's website out there now has full episode downloads of their major shows or, you know, in the case of Vanished and Kidnapped.
Yeah.
Those two shows actually got completely moved to the internet for the final episodes. So.
Yeah. Well, I know CBS has been pushing Jericho like crazy on their website. You got the webumentaries, as they call them now, the Countdown to Jericho and all that. So, I mean, right. they view that as one of the keys to the success of the series.
That's another, for the younger audience. Mm-hmm. They're like, I'm not going to even bother taping on TiVo. Yeah. If I miss it, I'll just go online and watch it.
Yeah.
I missed a Jericho episode. I went to the CBS website and I watched it.
Yeah. Now you have a midterm report card on the fall season.
Yeah.
What about ABC? What do you think?
Well, I think ABC is probably, at least for, I think for what you and I have been talking about all season, we kind of missed the boat there on a few things. Ugly Betty, of course, is their big hit of the new shows, got a full season renewal. I still have yet to see a complete episode of that.
But, same thing. I could care less about Ugly Betty.
Yeah, we have The Nine is, they actually ordered four more scripts. They haven't any more episode orders, but they ordered four more scripts, so that's kind of in the process. They're considering whether or not to order more.
Are they insane? That show is awful, and they ordered more episodes, more scripts of that damn thing?
More scripts. They kind of want to see how the show plays out.
Oh, it plays out. Yeah, I know how it plays out. It gets canceled. That's how it
is. This shows that...
Idiots running that network.
No, this just shows you that old people are going towards the ratings. You know why? Does anyone talk about Betty Boop or whatever, the Betty Ugly Betty? Does anyone talk about... No one talks about that. Everyone's talking about... what are some of, like, Dancing with the Stars or...
Survivor and all that crap, right?
I don't know. Why are they all high-rated shows don't even get talked about?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Ugly Betty is 6 Degrees. That's another one. It's awful. Huh?
Right. And then Men in Trees. That's another one.
Men in what?
Men in Trees. It's the Anne Hesh show set up in Alaska. Horrible show.
That got a full season order.
Oh, my God.
That was kind of us and pretty much everybody on, everybody that talks about media all season has been expecting the cancellation notice for that to come any day now. And, actually, ABC has not canceled anything yet. They moved 6 Degrees is officially on hiatus, but they say it's coming back in January.
Wow.
So the first thing from there, this Daybreak, I don't know if they're actually going to finish up the period with.
What about?
So we'll see. That might be their first.
Yeah, I was at Best Buy and they were selling the Invasion season one for $50. Oh, who the hell's going to buy it for $50?
Not me. You got to be kidding. And what about CBS?
Yeah, CBS. They were the first cancellation of the season with Smith, as we talked about already. Show was just a little bit too complicated. It was the Ray Liotta crime drama. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think what the kind of the problem they had with that show was kind of an interesting concept. The main characters are bad guys who rob banks, but the main characters, I mean, they were killing people and doing some like really kind of horrific things, and it was really hard to have any sympathy for them. So
yeah, and then the Class. I don't watch that either. Jericho, of course, everybody knows that's my favorite new show. The last episode was outstanding. The whole thing with the generator. Was that it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, poor Gracie. And they I was telling Carol Barber when she was on, that's my favorite character. Kill her off at the end of the episode.
I was disappointed about that.
Oh, poor Gracie. What did she do? And that song they're playing, you wish it happened, but you wish it didn't, or something like that. Because I guess a lot of the viewers have been hoping she was going to get it, because she was playing she had her bitchy moments when she was playing hardball with the prices for the chips and all that, and then
she kind of grated on the nerves a little bit, but I thought that was kind of a cop out to see her.
Poor
Shark is the other one at CBS, but she is doing very well.
Yeah.
I had a chance to catch up on that over the
Shark.
On the drive. We TiVo all the shows and I downloaded a bunch to the computer for my drive for the vacation. So I caught up on some of those. That was one of the shows I hadn't really seen. It's actually pretty good. So
I don't know. I'm sick of all these. Well, I'm getting sick of all these legal shows. You got Law and Order. I mean, all these. Yeah, I mean, give me more shows like Jericho, something different, a different kind of premise, and I'll watch it. You know, a lot of people refer to Jericho as Little House on the Armageddon. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, another thing is maybe like these, especially the episode, the TV shows that are week, not week to week, but continuation.
Yeah.
Maybe they caught on. Well, I'll just wait till the summer, buy it on DVD, and just watch it, or wait till it comes and rent it.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. And then NBC, of course, has got that smash hit Heroes. And now Sci-Fi, was it tonight they're running the marathon, or when is it?
Oh, it's this week sometime. I'm not sure.
I think it was tonight or something. I think Sci-Fi ran ad. They're going to run a marathon of all Heroes episodes. Now that's picking up steam, huh?
Yeah, and Heroes is definitely it's keeping its viewers. It's got a if you look at the numbers from week to week, it's only about a 200,000 viewer difference in the week to week ratings. So that means that Heroes has a pretty dedicated fan base that they've got that doesn't miss a show. And
good
definitely
for them.
The breakout hit of NBC.
Yeah,
still 14 million viewers or so.
Amazing, amazing. And then Studio 60. Oh. I can't believe they gave that show a full season. NBC's clueless. Well, they listened to me to move the Galactica to Sundays, but they're clueless about Studio 60. That show is awful.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And they gave it a full season.
Yeah, and then Friday Night Lights also. That's one of our favorites.
Yes.
Rollbard, but that got the full season pickup, and it's still doing well. They're going to be moving that to a different night because they already announced that Dateline is coming with a... They're going to add a third hour, I guess, of Dateline, or is it like a 14th hour or whatever of Dateline?
Probably.
It shows up all the time, but starting, I think, December 26th on Tuesday, that moves into the Tuesday time slot. So they haven't announced where they're moving Friday Night Lights yet, but some talk is on that they'll move it to Sunday nights. Either Sunday nights or actually maybe on Monday paired with Heroes again. Yeah. It did pretty well on that time.
Yeah, I don't understand. How is it so hard to figure out to put those shows back to back? I cannot figure this out for the life of me. You put Heroes on, and then it has the same probably viewing demos that are going to watch Friday Night Lights. Put those shows on back to back. I mean, how hard is that to figure out? I can't understand these networks with their programming ideas. They're insane, you know?
Yeah, they should definitely hire us.
Right? Unbelievable. I mean, if I was sitting there, I have these two shows. I have Heroes, a younger demographic, a mythical type of a series and all that. And then they have this Friday Night Lights, which is a drama, and all that with the young stars and all the heartthrobs. Put those shows together,
Exactly. Yeah.
Unbelievable. And then, what else? I'm sorry. 20 Good Years. that show's still on?
No, that's actually gone now.
Oh, okay. Good, so. Who was in that? That was, that was the guy's doing the soup commercials now. It was him and Jeffrey Tambor, right?
The
guy from Monty Python. He did Third Rock from the Sun.
Lithgow?
Lithgow, yeah. That's canceled and then kidnapped, canceled, and shipped to the web for final episodes. There are too many of those type of shows on. You had Vanished, you had Kidnapped, then you got Jericho,
what about that,
Heroes.
Standoff?
Oh, yeah.
That's over on Fox.
Oh,
Standoff got six more episodes. So it's
good for them.
Well. I mean, I guess pretty well when you consider Justice and Vanished are gone.
Yeah.
So what does Fox have now? I guess they have House, Prison Break, and Standoff.
And American Idol.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they renewed Till Death. That's Brett Garrett's program. I don't know how that show's holding on. The ratings are horrible for Till Death. That show should be on CBS.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a CBS type of sitcom, not a Fox sitcom. Fox usually has the chicks or some kind of goofy comedy or something like that. Till Death is a CBS sitcom. It should be over on CBS anyway.
I heard that they're bringing back the fourth season of Dancing with Stars in March to compete against American Idol.
Oh, my God. I don't watch either one of those shows. I'm sorry. I don't watch that. I don't watch any of those reality programs. There's too many actors and actresses and writers out of work, and these reality shows just takes more of them out of work,
Yeah. Well, actually, since we're talking about reality shows, maybe I'll jump ahead here. One of the big news items this week was Mark Burnett, the guy who does Survivor, the guy in charge of it, getting married to Roma Downey from...
Ooh.
By an angel.
Ooh, really?
Now,
she's very
that
attractive.
Actually, I think the reason that story is so interesting is because Mark Burnett could have married any 25-year-old bimbo he wanted to. And, yeah, there's nothing wrong. I mean, don't get me wrong. Roma Downey is very hot, but she's mid-40s, you know, basically the same age. They're both, you know, both been married, both have kids.
Yeah, she's been around the block a few times, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they both have. I mean, that kind of makes sense, and you just don't hear about that in Hollywood.
Well, good for him. Yeah, I think he needs somebody that's nice to talk to because he basically puts up with Trump for most of the year anyway, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I it's good for him. And what else? Heroes, they did a flashback episode, right? Retrospective?
Another retrospective. We got to see kind of the origin of Nikki's power. It's apparently her twin sister.
Ooh.
Who died as a child is Jessica. And, actually, did you notice this? They had her father on the show last
year.
Yes. Battlestar Galactica connection.
Yes, her father was, what the hell's his name? The guy who was drinking with Kane, with Ty, I mean.
The guy who became commander of Pegasus.
Yeah, he was out. I wish they would have kept him around. I thought he was a good actor and a good character.
The chubby guy?
Yeah, he was
good.
He was good. I remember he does those Army commercials. You see him on those Army commercials. The rain's pouring, and he's talking to his son. You did one thing you've never done before. It's shake my hand and look me straight in the eye. He does those Army commercials, too. So, Heroes is doing very well.
Yeah, and apparently, though, it's actually, I guess, going to be off for at least a month also after next week's episode. So pretty much every one of the new shows, for the most part, is going on hiatus for a month or so.
Yeah, of course, in Jericho, they bounced back to 9.75 million viewers, which is good. I don't think Jericho would ever be the huge hit that Heroes is. I think CBS has got a lot of these moderate hits, you know what I mean? What's the other show? The Unit. It's like a moderate hit. I mean, nothing. You know, it's going to burn up the ratings, but I mean, it'll sustain them with viewers and everything. And then he's also the 14th is going to be a flashback episode, a catch up episode.
So Valentine's Day, February 14th, they're going to do a kind of a retrospective or a reminder of what happened during the first season. So you know, it's going to be this show is going to have to keep Jericho alive for that time period. Then they go, actually, February 21st, they're doing something kind of like what Heroes did last night. They're doing jumping back like a few months and going back to the day before the nukes. You get to see what was going on in Jericho.
Hmm. And then
on February 21st.
And then Dresden Files is going to be, of course, we said it's going to be with Galactica after the break. And I didn't know this. You said each novel in the series is told from perspective of Harry Blackstone, Copperfield, Dresden. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's one we're pretty excited about, the Dresden Files.
Yeah.
It's a very, very popular series of books, you know, kind of like an adult Harry Potter, I guess, in some ways. The Dresden character is a private eye detective type who's also a wizard. He's got magical powers.
Wow.
They call him in on occult cases. And I've actually seen the pilot for that. I saw a very early episode of the pilot before they added special effects.
Mm.
And it was very good, even without the effects. I mean, they have, you know, like people waving their hands and something flashes on the screen saying, you know, magic sphere appears. But they handed that out at Comic-Con this year.
Huh.
And we're actually pretty excited about that. I think that show it's a good match for Battlestar.
That's good. And, of course, it's set in Chicago, so it can't hurt it.
Is it kind of like X-Files, but not so dealt with UFOs?
Well, it's kind of like an X-Files supernatural type stuff. The guy's an investigator investigating all kinds of weird stuff, but he's also, you know, also a wizard, again, like kind of an adult Harry Potter. He's got magical powers and he uses that in his investigation techniques.
Very cool. And also you have on here, we only got like a minute left, Bruce Lee theme park opening in China, so you got that. And of course, we know all about Pam Anderson divorcing Kid Rock. I'm available if she wants to marry me.
Yeah.
You know, they got married like four times or something, three times. MSNBC was talking about today on the most with Alison Stewart. Those Hollywood marriages. And then with the movies last week, which you have Happy Feet at 37 million, Casino Royale at 31 million. I'm glad it's doing well because it's a new James Bond and everything, right?
Yeah, you know, the thing that's kind of surprising, none of the new shows that opened last week, nothing except for there's a show called Deja Vu that got at 20 million, but none of the other new ones opened, including Bobby, which it really surprised me. I think that only pulled in about 6 million last week.
Huh. And Van Wilder, The Rise of
that's coming out this week.
Taj?
We've got Van Wilder, the sequel, spinoff, and then the Nativity, another kind of Christmas Jesus theme movie that actually that had a kind of a unique thing. It premiered at the Vatican. That's actually where they had the world premiere of the movie.
Wow.
I heard a lot of bad reviews for the new movies, like The Fountain, Deck the Halls, the Tenacious D, Pick of Destiny. I heard just bad reviews all around.
Pretty much those pulled in, all of those pulled in right around 5 or 6 million.
Right. How about that Apocalypto is supposed to be? It looks pretty good. I think Mel Gibson's name's on it's going to kill that movie, but I mean.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of comeback on that with Mel Gibson attached. There's actually another pretty good movie, I think, that